1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me. To the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all.
Thank you, Scott. Well, good morning again. My name is Trevor, and excited to be here with you today. We get to start a new series for summer called Centered. We're going to be talking this summer about centering your faith with the gospel, centering your faith with Jesus. Let me open us up in prayer. Father, we thank you for your servant Paul, who was so influential in the New Testament, who was able to write these words to the different churches and to let it be known that there's a message about your gospel and your grace that even today we can continue to learn from. We thank you for all these things in your name. Amen. Well, we get to talk a little bit more about being centered, and I was thinking through this today. We're going to be going through the book of Galatians. It's a really unique book in the Bible. It's a unique letter of Paul's. And before I get into that, I just want to talk a little bit about if you can remember back to maybe the moment or the time or even the season that you began to believe in Jesus. For some of you, maybe it happened when you were like some of these kids that are up here today, when you were really small. Maybe it was when you were in elementary school and you first started to hear about Jesus, or maybe in junior high when some friends invited you to a church group, or maybe it was in high school when you started to really wrestle with, what is life about? Why are we here? Or maybe it was college. You happened to kind of make friends with some people who were going to a church and they asked you to come with them, or maybe it's even later in your adult life at some point in time. But there was probably a moment that you somehow decided that, yes, this is Jesus. This is who I'm going to follow. This is the ways that I'm going to continue in. Now, hopefully, as you did that, you again had surrounded yourselves with some friends, some amazing teachers, people to help lead you on in the faith, people to help teach you kind of the correct way to go, to teach you what Christianity is about, what Jesus Christ was about, what his preaching and teaching was about. And so you had these times in your life that you sort of built this foundation on. And so when we approach this letter of Galatians, it's a unique letter. The last verse that you just heard is kind of this interesting verse. It sort of catches you off guard because it doesn't really go with the entrance to the letter, which is all about grace and peace to you. And then Paul says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. This is a church, Galatia, that Paul had been to in a missionary journey a few years before. This is actually a letter to several churches in the area. This is sort of some of his missionary trips. If you were to look at this map, and I know it's a little far away, but Galatia is about where modern-day Turkey is today. So if you know where Turkey is, if you know where Israel's at, Turkey is kind of up and above it a little bit. And Turkey is still today, has a lot of Christians in it, definitely has some unrest in it as well, as there's a lot of fighting in that particular area. But this is the area Paul had gone through and had already planted several churches. And he'd already spread the gospel of Christ. And so here he is writing this letter to them saying, I am astonished at you of this gospel that you are so quickly leaving. Kind of an interesting intro into this letter. I'm going to go through just Paul's introduction as we enter into this new series, but it's kind of interesting. This is a unique letter in the sense of a few things. You know that Paul is very serious in this because in how he addresses this letter. If you were to read some of his other letters, like to Corinthians or to 1st and 2nd Timothy, to Timothy, usually there's a little bit more flowery, flowing entrance to it in which Paul says, my name is Paul, and this is who I am, and to all of you whom I love and are kind and generous and good-looking, and you're all of my people and my friends, and he cuts out all of that And he very quickly gets to the heart of the matter. It's sort of a very dynamic letter. Some of the commentators actually refer to this as Paul's little piece of dynamite. This is his letter that he has written because something is wrong with these churches in Galatia. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. If you have a Bible open right now, maybe just look at that phrase and kind of underline some of this. This is quite interesting how Paul has started out this letter. Paul has started out this letter not Paul as your friend or Paul your mentor or Paul that guy you met once. He's saying, I am Paul and this is who I am, period. Paul is coming out swinging. Kind of interesting, looking at the students up here. Did anybody, I'm sure there's teachers in this room as well, but if you've ever gone and met teachers as well, you are assuming, you know that they've gone through some training themselves. They've been given some definitive schooling that has given them this ability and the right to literally say, I have been trained to do this. I've been given the authority to do this. And what Paul is saying is, look, guys, I have been given the authority to give you instruction by Jesus Christ himself. I am an apostle. There is not anymore, we don't think that there are apostles today. Apostles, by definition, are those who met Christ or were specifically appointed by Christ. And Paul kind of is in that division as he was specifically appointed by Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Paul is a very forthright person. His history is that he was a scholar in the Jewish culture, and he was not just a scholar, but one of the scholars. He knew his Torah, his Bible, in and out. He knew the rules, the regulations, and then he met Christ, who upended everything and taught him what true grace and peace and love was. And you have Paul saying, I am an apostle, big A. I am one of Jesus' guys, and I am here to talk to you. We still believe in apostolic or little a apostles today. That's literally more of those who have been gifted by Christ to be maybe prophetic or to speak or to teach. We more of the followers of Christ, but not necessarily those who have been given Christ's blessing personally by Jesus when he was alive. But this is Paul the apostle, not from men, not through men. This is Paul appointed by God through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. So Paul is going back, not even just that he was appointed by Christ, but he was appointed by the very God that raised Christ. And he's saying to all these churches in Galatia, this is why you should listen to me. This is the authority I bring with me. This is who I am. And all the brothers who are with me, kind of as a ending point, Paul is saying, and everybody else that knows who I am as well. But the really important thing here is that I'm coming from Jesus. For you. Number one, so you're filling is a teacher's authority is important. I was talking to someone yesterday about they are pursuing a PhD in education. We're talking about how hard that is, the many, many, many hours of training that takes. And you have to, at the end, most of you know that you have to write a dissertation, which is essentially a huge report. Meaning you have to do a ton of research, you have to find subjects to study, you have to get people to engage with you, you ask some questions that perhaps society or you have always wanted to know. And this person I was talking with had this incredible vision of what they were going to kind of try to go for and write this big report over, and it was really interesting. And I was just standing there thinking about how difficult that is going to be for that person to engage with this, to get this done. And this is on top of someone already having a full-time job and working. A teacher's authority is important. He was talking about a particular class where the professor said, literally, that we're this hard on you because we are giving you our stamp of approval. And we want to make sure that you know and that we know that everybody else knows that you are who you say you are. Your teacher's authority is important. In this church, this is when we talk about authority of the teacher of me, it's not meaning that I have the authority to tell you what to do and where to go and how to do it, but it means that I have been gifted by God this opportunity to teach from the Bible. But it also means that the Bible that you have in front of you is a great way to check who I am and what I say. And the great thing about being in a church as well, and this is what I love as Paul put, and with all the brothers, is part of the authority comes not just from me saying who I am, but from others saying who I am as well. If I'm not living the life I'm supposed to be living, if I'm not acting the way I'm supposed to be acting, all of you would know pretty quickly, Gilroy is a very small town, and word gets around. But the authority that God has given to me, and through that to you, to others, to teach and to spread the gospel is important. Keep going on. To the churches of Galatia. Again, bam, he cuts it off right there. Not to the churches of Galatia, whom I love, who are great, who have brought me much joy. It's just, you guys. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. This is just in the entry. Paul launches into really three kind of points about our faith. And the first one is simply this, is that Jesus sacrificed himself for us. If you are a Christian, if you are believing in him, if this is the way you've chose to live, then you need to understand, you need to declare, yes, that Jesus did sacrifice himself for us. It was Jesus who died on the cross. It was Jesus who was risen. It was Jesus who came back to life, who came to give us grace and peace and joy and to forgive our sins. This is one of those things where Jesus sacrificed himself, and this is an important part of who Paul is saying to these Galatians. Remember, this is what we talked about. The next line there, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us. Why don't you circle that word deliver? Again, if you have a Bible open, it's a great moment just to circle that word deliver. Because that word can really be translated in a slightly different way as well. Because when you're talking about delivering people from something, there's also a different word that you can use, and it's to rescue people from something. Christianity is sort of a rescue religion, a rescue belief system. It's something where we are being helped, where we are being brought, where we are being lifted up out of our own mire and muck. We are being rescued. As we compare that to other things, to other religions, to other beliefs, no other one really rescues us as much as asks us to perform to be rescued, perform to be saved. And Jesus comes, not just that he sacrificed himself, but this is a time when he says, I am here for you, and I will bring you up out of this pit. I will bring you up out of your sinful nature. I will bring you up out of all this, and I will forgive you and love you. Jesus came to rescue us. And then next, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Sort of an important point, too. From the present evil age. That's sort of a weird saying, a weird phrase, isn't it? So in the Bible, as Paul is talking here, Paul is really thinking that there's sort of two ages, two times. There is the time before you met Christ, and then there is the time after you met Christ. But that time before you met Christ is this sort of evil age, where you sat in your own sins, you sat in your own downfall, you sat in all those attitudes and all those things that are, well, really evil. And that day that you gave your heart to Christ, that you said, you know what, I will believe in you. I will sit through your promises. I will understand that you've come to rescue me, and I will give up and let you do that. That is the day that you left the evil age and came to now the age of Christ. But as we think about this, there are still plenty of people in the world that are still living in this present evil age. I was reading the newspaper today about just, again, some of the battles going on. Some of us here I know are from Cameroon. Just the upset in those countries. The people who are fighting for power, fighting for prestige, fighting for everything they think is theirs. As I think about our own country and some of the racism that's going on, some of the power and the positioning that's going on financially, and some of these areas of our lives where evil is still reigning. And when I really look closely at myself, there are times when evil begins to reign in my heart, and it's still present and still with me. But fortunately, Christ is now with me to help forgive me, to help me change, to help me become more of who God would want his child to be. So the message is that Jesus came to rescue us today. I think we miss that sometimes, and we forget.
in our belief. We come to church on Sunday. It's fun. We get to sing songs. There's hopefully a great message. And then there's a door that we walk out of, and we sort of turn it off for the rest of the week, don't we? I'm as guilty of that as anybody else, because I get busy with shuttling kids back and forth. I get busy with my job. I get busy with social events. I get busy with community things I'm a part of, and I kind of forget everything that happened on Sunday. But Jesus didn't. He's still there every day, and he has decided to rescue me today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And Christ is always there. We need to remember that Jesus is there to rescue us today. And then lastly there, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. According to the will of God our Father. This was not a mistake. This was not some happenstance thing that happened in history. This was not something that was born out of some sort of weird thing that happened in a set of circumstances. This was according to the will of God. And sometimes when we talk to people about who Jesus is, when people hear for the first time, they begin to wonder what kind of God would send their son to death. What kind of God would have this evil happen? It was God's will that Christ die, because Jesus was the only one who could actually take the brunt, the weight of the world's sins. Jesus Christ was the only one who was perfect, was the great sacrifice that was acceptable to pay the debt for all the wrongs that I do, that you do, that we do. And it was the will of God. This wasn't something by mistake. Jesus came to rescue us according to God's will. This was in the plan the whole time. And God knew it. Then he ends this little section, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Kind of interesting. Paul puts this little tagline at the end of just this brief introduction, this brief moment saying, I am Paul, and this is Christ, and this is God, and this is the plan. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He doesn't say to Paul be the glory. He says to God, the one who has shaped this world, who has created this planet, who has put into place people and nations and places and guides for us all. To him be the glory forever and ever. If you've ever been in a class when you have a teacher who's very proud of themselves, maybe a little accomplished. I always used to bug me when I'd go to college, and I would be in a professor's class, and I'd look at my list of textbooks, and they were all written by the professor themselves, right? And you think, oh, this is a racket. I have to buy these $70, $80, $90, $100 books that is the professor's. Paul is not that kind of professor. Paul is the teacher who is saying to God, to the one who has saved me, to him be all glory in the world, not me. To God be the glory. Amen. And this is how he finishes his quick introduction to the churches of Galatia. This is his letter of dynamite, of a magnificent message to churches that are on the edge. We're going to go through this summer talking about this, and Paul is going to talk about really two things that are in this church's sort of their initial learning phase that they have kind of gone askew. In fact, the word that Paul used in some places is more like perverted or been perversed. What's happened is they have been listening to teachers that have been, one, false teachers, teachers that weren't given authority, teachers that weren't given the opportunity to direct. They weren't given the proper training. And then the other thing is these people have been spreading a false gospel. They've been spreading a gospel that's not of faith, a gospel that's not of joy, a gospel that's not of forgiveness. It's been a Jesus plus something kind of gospel. If you are going to be a good Christian, then it's going to be you worship Jesus plus you do these three things. Or if you're going to be a good Christian, you're going to be a good provider of these, and you're going to do these other things, and you're going to change your body physically to manifest yourself as a Christian. And Paul comes back to say, this is not what I taught you. This is not what I have brought you. I have not been gone that long, so listen up, churches of Galatia. I have a message to give you. And this is the dynamite thing we are going to study this summer. And I'm so excited for it. At the end of your fill-in sheet, there's just a couple of quick questions there. Something for you to take home, maybe to look at over the course of this next week. Who do you receive training from? Hopefully it's not just me. Maybe it's a Bible study you're a part of. Maybe it's a small group. Maybe you have a podcast you listen to. Or maybe you have quiet times with God. But really kind of answer that question. Dig into it. Who do I receive training from? How is God teaching me? And the great thing about that is we can all agree is teaching and learning never stops. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. You will continue to learn and hopefully continue to teach throughout your lives. Maybe you have become a teacher yourself. And if you have, to God's glory, that is awesome. And then the second part there is, what did Jesus rescue you from? What is he rescuing you to? What is it that he is calling you to do in your life? Maybe just take some time, maybe put that on a mirror in your bedroom or your bathroom or maybe on the dash of your car, or maybe put it in your Bible if you read it daily and you open it up. And just think about those questions throughout the week. As we jump into this the next few weeks through summer, hopefully we're going to see how Paul unpacks some of these arguments and unpacks some of this instruction. We continue on learning. Hopefully, we're going to get a little bit more centered in our faith. And as we do that, let me transition now. I'm going to close this in a quick prayer, and we're going to move to communion, which is a great way of centering our heart back on Christ.